Well, good morning, Hillcrest. How are we doing this morning? Good. Glad to see you all here today. We are in our third week of this series in which we are looking at the state of the church, specifically here at Hillcrest. And, you know, there's been a few tough messages as we've been looking at different aspects, things that we're doing well, but things that we need to grow in or things that we need to challenge ourselves in. Today, the message title for today is how are we doing in the world? Now, when it comes to global missions for a church, churches tend to do it one very particular way, and that's where the church gives money to a missionary. They've identified a missionary, maybe someone from within their denomination, someone that's come to the church and asked for this support, and the church supports them. Sometimes it's done through a special offering for that missionary. Sometimes it's within the budget of the church, and they just write the check. Monthly or quarterly or whatever it may be. And this, for many churches, is the extent of their missional global work. Those missionaries, of course, when they're on furlough and they come back to the States from being wherever they are in the mission field, come back to each of the churches that are supporting them. And the reason why they come back to each church and give a report or sometimes a sermon or a special service is given is because they need to continue the support. If they don't come back and report, the churches already don't really ever remember this missionary unless it's ever brought up in church or unless this missionary shows up. And if you don't know them, you won't care, and giving drops off. And these missionaries in the field, they need this support in order to continue their ministries, because in the places where many times they're at, it is through full support. There's not a way for them to raise that support in that mission field and do that mission work that they're supposed to be doing. When churches support missionaries this way, it is a good thing. It is a necessary thing. For a lot of churches, when you think of God's call for us to go into all the nations, churches themselves aren't necessarily going to all the nations. So there's individuals that are, and they support those individuals. This is an important partnership within the church. But if that's where the partnership ends, or if that's the limiting or the most significant way that you help or a church helps in global missions, they are falling short, I think, on what God has called us as the local church to do. Though important, not sufficient enough. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, we've looked at this verse a few times and we'll continue in this series, but Jesus is talking to his disciples. It says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations. And then goes on to describe what it is that they're to do, which is bringing them to Christ, bringing them into the church, helping them grow in their faith. So we're to go to all the nations. How do we do that? It's true that a missionary supported by a church, even specifically a church like Hillcrest, is good, it's helpful, it's necessary. But there has to be something more in a church's scope and practice when it comes to going to all the nations globally, going and sharing Christ. Now, in this series, as we've been looking at the state of the church of Hillcrest, we've looked at a few different areas. First one we looked at was internally. We looked at how we were doing just within Hillcrest itself. I will admit, that was a tough message to give. It was certainly tough, I think, to hear. We challenged ourselves in some ways. But we realize that there's a few things that we're deficient in here that we need to be working on. We talked about being connected to one another. Though you are a friendly bunch of people, connecting and knowing each other on a deeper level is something that we need to grow in our church. In any organization, like the Jeep Club that I'm a part of, the statistics would say that I need to be connected to at least 7 people to feel connected to that group. And I would say that's true. Over the years, it's been, you know, hard to get to know certain guys and kind of be included in their club type of idea. But the more people I'm connected to, the more I'm connected to that group as a whole. The same is for church. You have to know and be connected to 7 people. These aren't just people that you would shake hands with and say hi to and you might know their name. These are people that you really do know. Maybe you've been to their house or they've been to your house. Maybe your refrigerator friends. You know, you can just go over to their house and just go into the refrigerator, or they can come to your house and just open your refrigerator. These are people that you know better than just hanging out. If you saw them in Hy-Vee, you would stop and you would have a conversation, and, you know, your time schedule for the day would get completely blown out of the water because you had a great conversation with whoever it was in the produce aisle. And these kinds of connections are important, and so we have to have those connections. We talked about that if you want to make a friend, you have to be a friend. That's right. You have to open yourself up. You have to take a risk. It is not easy to find new people to connect with, new people to pour into your life. You have to take a risk. It's hard to do. I know that for myself. I have a hard time making friends. I've used the word before. There is trepidation for me in making new connections with people because I fear rejection. I fear transparency in some ways, but it's how I have to live my life. And so I take those risks. I take those steps. We have to do that with each other. So the first thing was connecting. We also talked a little bit about going all in with Hillcrest. So many people come to Hillcrest, but they're not connected in the way of saying, this is the place where I'm going to do ministry. This is the place I'm going to give. This is the place I'm going to serve. This is it. Hillcrest is the local church that I'm going to connect with. So we talked about membership. Well, on that particular Sunday, we had 30 people that signed up to become members at Hillcrest. It was just awesome. I still have the clipboard up here. If you are still interested in that, come put your name on the list. Next Sunday after the second service, we're going to be having a lunch, which I will invite you to hear about membership, to know the things you need to know, to have again, it's a free lunch, and it will say a dazzling presentation from myself. But it'll only take about an hour of your time, but I think it'll be a great way for you to understand a little more, connect a little bit more, and join us. Say, this is the place. This is where I'm going to serve. This is my church. And then we also talked about reaching out to others and helping them connect. Finding events that are going on, and you can reach out to each other and say, hey, come to the bowling thing, or come to the trunk or treat thing, or come to, help me as I'm doing the bake sale at the craft fair, and get to know each other and connect with one another. So internally, some things we need to do there. Last week, we talked about how we're doing in Sioux Falls, and I am so proud of what Hillcrest has been doing in Sioux Falls. 14 years ago, we asked the question, if Hillcrest disappeared just off the map, would anyone in Sioux Falls notice or care? And we had to be honest with ourselves and say, yeah, there probably people wouldn't necessarily notice. We just weren't that involved in our community. I mean, we knew it ourselves, but we weren't super involved. Back then, we were working with two other organizations in Sioux Falls. Today, 26 different organizations and ministries and parachurch organizations in Sioux Falls that we are now partnering with and serving with. That would not have happened without us asking that question 14 years ago. On top of that, Hillcrest has now given away just shy of $1 million to our community in those 14 years. And that was a major shift from what we were doing before to what we are doing now. You can hardly recognize Hillcrest from those years to these years, and I have been privileged to be a part of it along the way. We did talk about some areas that we needed to grow here in Sioux Falls, and one of them is 100% my responsibility. One of them is us connecting and serving with other churches. Churches are kind of islands to themselves. They don't do a lot with each other. And the thing is that if a pastor doesn't befriend a pastor and get to know him on a personal level and build trust, that pastor would never trust me, or never trust our congregation. The same way, if I don't trust another pastor, it's hard for me to trust my congregation to him. He would have a hard time trusting his congregation to me. We have to build a friendship. For 2 years now, I have been working with multiple pastors in Sioux Falls, trying to build relationships, and I have developed some rather deep friendships now with many of these guys where we trust each other, and which I think we're at the place where we can start bringing our churches together to do some things. We'll talk about those as opportunities come, but to be able to serve and do things with other churches is a very important part of this community, for the community to see that the church is united as one. We have to set aside our differences, because every church is different. I mean, not every church is perfect like ours. We just happen to have it just right. But others that are, off base somehow, we have to forgive them for their differences, They have a different theology about this or about that. But what do we come together on? That we're all celebrate that faith comes through Christ and we serve because of Christ and his love for us and his call, his command for us to love each other and love our community. And so we can set aside modes of baptism, because that's not what we do when we come together as a community. So we have differences, but yet we still need to come together and trust each other in that. The second thing that we talked about last week that we need to kind of stretch ourselves with is that we need to start inviting our friends into faith. whether that's offering to pray for them, or whether that's inviting them to, you know, our house, and when we invite them over for a Super Bowl game or something, we're inviting our Christian friends too, and we're letting our Christian friends know, I have someone that's come that's not really connected with the church, really not sure about God, and though your friends can lovingly show that Christians can have a good time, that we are safe people, that we love, that we care, and that we're not weird freaks, you know? But you can also invite them to stuff. You can invite them to, you know, things like a bowling event or like a craft fair, things that are non-confrontational in any way. And maybe you'll get to the point where you invite them to church on a Sunday morning, or you invite them to your small group, or invite them to your Bible study. But helping them see, going into all the nations, including our own backyards, and helping people know Jesus Christ. So we talked about internal, we talked about Sioux Falls. Today I want to talk about Hillcrest specifically and our global missions impact. Now, we do support missionaries, just like I shared early on. Missionaries that need support, we support them. You might not even know who they are, and that's part of the problem with that being the only way that we do it, because unless you're part of the business meetings and hear those reports or understand our budget and look at those line items, you may not ever know who these people are. But it is important that we do it. Now, one unique thing that has happened here at Hillcrest just recently is we have a missionary that has come from the congregation and heard the call to missions and has gone into the mission field. This is very rare for many churches. It's been rare for Hillcrest, but we're excited about it. Brianna Letha was born here at Hillcrest. Well, it wasn't actually like in this room or something, but shortly after her birth, she showed up here because her parents were already attending. And Brianna grew up there through our children's ministry, through middle school and high school, and she has responded to the call to ministry. And she's working for Youth for Christ. She's in Germany right now, and Hillcrest provides support for her quarterly. Individuals here at Hillcrest provide for her monthly, and she has to raise all those funds to be able to stay over there in Germany. We are so excited for what God is up to in Brianna and how she has caught this vision and how she has sacrificed so much to be able to do this. One of the challenges is Brianna is short just a couple hundred dollars a month. Some people give one time to Brianna. That's great. But it's really those monthly commitments that would be what she really needs to be able to count on to make sure that she can stay there in Germany. If not, she has to leave Germany, come back to the States, and raise funds again. And she is literally just a couple hundred dollars short. So my plea to you as your pastor is support the missionary that has grown up right here at Hillcrest and is currently in the mission field serving. If you can help out on a monthly basis, just $5 a month, she knows that she would get that. Or 10 or 15, 20, 25, 50. I don't know what it is that your budget could handle. But if you would consider that, it would be such a blessing to Brianna and be able to keep her in the mission field instead of coming back. If you are interested, there's going to be there's a sheet at the Welcome Center. You can go there, pick up the sheet. It shows you how to give right there online. You can do it. And I know it would be a big blessing to her. But not only do we have support missionaries, not only do we have missionaries that go into the mission field, but we go into the mission field. Twice now we've gone to South Sudan. First time in 2010, we went again in 2012. The first time we went there to teach farming, a no-till farming process, which was very important because they weren't able to sustain their food, and they needed some different farming practices. We brought someone from Kenya to come in and to train as well. It wasn't just our own brainchild, and that was a great ministry to them. We have since then sent some of them to school to learn this so that they too can come back and reinforce this farming technique. 2012, we went back and we dug a well because they were going at least 5 miles to some dirty, infested hole in the ground that they got water out of. And we created this well, dug this well right there in their village so they could have fresh, clean drinking water. It's important to go into the mission field as well. We can't get back there right now because of the Civil War. Breaks our heart. Our hope is to get back there someday, but it has to be safe enough for us to be able to go there again. We've gone to South Africa. We've gone to Honduras multiple times. In fact, we have a group that's going to Honduras here in November, medical missions work, and Susan Gernick is leading that. Sherry Guzzi is also on that, and a few others are going on that trip. A great opportunity to show Christ's love and to experience and see things that you wouldn't see otherwise. We have been on reservations here in South Dakota. We've gone to inner cities here in the States. all kinds of different mission opportunities that we have had over the years here. And I want to encourage you to find out and to be a part of some of those organizations in one way or another. In fact, a little caveat here. I need to be really honest with you when it comes to short-term missions, because over the years, I have come to understand short-term missions in a very unique way. Sometimes we think that short-term missions, when we go somewhere, wherever it may be, is about us helping those people. I'm not saying it's not about helping those people, but realize that it's more about what change happens in you than it is what you bring to that mission field. There's times that a church can go into an area thinking that they're helping, and really they end up hurting. For example, if we go to some place and we're going to go build a church somewhere, we're going to spend a lot of money getting all our people in flights and travel and everything to go there. So we're going to spend a ton of money to get there. And then when we get there, we're going to build a church, and none of us are church builders, so we do a pretty poor job of it. But not only that, but we take away work from those in the community that normally would have built that church. So we literally take money out of their mouths, and we do the work while they stand on the sidelines unemployed, and we come in and do the work. That's where helping can hurt. And so we're very sensitive to that here at Hillcrest. We don't do projects like that. We do projects where we come alongside. We may provide some resources, but even when we do things, like when we dug the well, we didn't dig the well, but we hired local people. We used local people, local resources to do that work. So everybody was employed. We just brought the funds in to be able to do it, to provide it. And so it's important how we do that. But when we go into the mission field, we have to remember that it's about the change and transformation that happens in us that is most significant for us personally. In the process, we do help others, but it's about the change in you. If I didn't go to South Sudan, if I haven't been to many of these other places, this January we're going to Ethiopia. We're going to be going with Adams Thermal Foundation to see the schools, to see the kids, to see the ministry that's there. I invite you to come along this January to Ethiopia with us. Pastor Brian and I will both be going, and I probably said it last week, but I'll just remind you, we are not boring travel buddies. We like to have a good time along the way, especially in foreign countries where, well, it can be a little awkward at times, but we enjoy that. But, you know, the change that happens in me when I go, my heart beats differently as I see people in suffering and I see people in difficulty in a context that I could not understand until I went there. It's hard in America to really understand the suffering and the difficulty and the struggles that people face in other parts of the world until you go there, until your eyes see and start to see things the way God sees them, until your heart starts to beat and break and you shed tears in a place like that because you just didn't know until you arrived there. And when you come back, it softens your heart for more ministry, more love, more compassion, more help. It's an important part. I would encourage all Christians to go on some short-term mission, not with the idea that you're going and great, you're an American and you help them out and we should all pat you on the back. You go and you serve for the sake of loving, and in the process, you're transformed. And if you've never gone, if you've never experienced that kind of transformation, I encourage you to definitely do that and be a part of that. Psalm 82:3 says, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. If you're doing the fill-ins in page 6 of the program when you came in, the fill-in for there is sympathy is no substitute for action. You can't have sympathy for people and not take some kind of action. Otherwise, it's just worthless. You can't be sympathetic for someone's situation and then not step into it and try and do something. And so there are people that are suffering and hurting all over the world. And so we need to be people that are sympathetic, but that sympathy moves us to action, to doing something. Here in America, we have much. Really, no matter where you are on the economic scale. And as Christians, we are called to care for the poor in the world, both here and abroad. And in order to do that, we have to be people who give. And we give to our church through tithes. And you had better, if you are a part of a church, you had better be sure that a church does well with the tithes that you give. That they are good stewards of those funds, that they do well with the money that is given, that they are helping those that are poor in the world. But secondly, you also must be giving over and above whatever that tithe is, to places, to people that come across your paths that are over and above the giving that you give to your church. In fact, I would say that if you are not giving weekly or you're not giving monthly, you're completely missing the mark on what it means to be a Christian. Here at Hillcrest, I do not do messages on tithing. I don't do messages on giving. I believe that's a very personal thing. But there are times that I have to remind you that it is a spiritual discipline and it's a maturity in your giving for whatever it is that you determine that you are going to give. But the scriptures are pretty clear that we need to give 10%. 10% of what we make, we give back to the church. And some people say, well, that just seems like a whole lot of money. Well, considering what happens when it comes to the church and the good that happens locally and in the world when we give, we could do so much more. I mean, we have 18 children we've been able to adopt. We are coming very close to running out of the funds that we have to help people with adopting, to the point where people will come to us and say, we want to adopt, and we'll say, you have to get in line because we don't have the funds. But if all of us were giving the way that we're supposed to be giving, those funds would be there so we could take children that are in orphanages and bring them into loving families. It's important that we all do our part in giving so that the church can do good. It's a stretch, I understand. It's hard for a lot of people to come to the place of giving a tithe, but it's very important and it's part of our spiritual growth and development. As a follower of Jesus, I personally give 10% of my income and more to my local church here to Hillcrest. And now some of you are like, wait, hang on, Pastor, don't you get paid through those tithes? Yeah, I do. And I give back 10% of that because that's what I believe God has asked me to do. So as you give and they're able to pay me, I also give back to my church. I give that tithe. It's important. Hillcrest gives a tithe as well. Now, that isn't a biblical mandate that a church give a tithe. But when Hillcrest sets their budget for the year, they take that budget amount, they take 10% of that, they put it in missions, and they say, we're giving this away. 10% of this we're going to give away into missions. And that's why we're nearing $1 million that we've been able to give away. It's incredible. But the church needs to model it. Your leaders need to be modeling it. All your leaders, your pastors and your other leaders in what it means to be a sacrificial giver, because to be a follower of Christ is to be a giver. And Hillcrest has been able to help those in Sioux Falls in giving. They've been able to help flood and storm and earthquake victims from around the world. But then you're also to give over and above the tithe to other situations that come into your life. Jenny and I, we give over and above our tithe. We sponsor a child at Adams Thermal Foundation. That's something we do every single month, and I'm excited to meet her in person when we head off to Ethiopia. We sponsor Brianna Letha every single month. Our family writes that check so that Brianna has the money that she needs to stay in the mission field, and it's not a part of our tithe. We bought a backpack through Feeding South Dakota so that a child can be eating. We know that we had a part in that, that we took a step in that, just like 65 others here at Hillcrest did. Awesome, awesome. Act of love. We help friends, we help neighbors, we help those in need. We all need to be givers. Your bank statement should reflect your giving. And if it does not, I believe that we can become selfish and we can become hard and we can miss out on the joy of what giving can be. You know, you can give without loving, but I don't think that you can love without giving. We have to be givers. Now, if you think that I'm pandering for your money, trust me, I'm not. You just keep it. Because this isn't about anybody knowing what it is that you're doing, but it's what a believer is to do, is to be a giver. We give back what is given to us, and much has been given to us, and so much is expected of us. We need to be people that love in the area of giving. So my encouragement here this morning is go on a missions trip. Find a missions trip to be a part of. Give so the church can give, and then give over and above in those places where God has shown you need, and be a giving person. You'll find so much more joy than the hoarding. You'll find so much joy in giving than trying to maintain all the junk that you buy and the big screens that break down and the this and that and the bells and whistles in your car and all that kind of stuff. There's so much more joy in the giving away and letting go and having open hands instead of closed fists in your faith. What God can do in that, and the blessings that you see in that, and the love that can be expressed through that. One of the other overlooked areas when it comes to global missions is orphan ministry. And obviously that's a local ministry, but it's also a global ministry, because you can have a great impact as you open your home and your heart to someone that is in need of a family. In James 1:27, it says, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." In Isaiah 1:16-17, it says, "Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows." Every one of us here can have a global impact by sponsoring a child through Adams Thermal Foundation, or sponsoring a child through Compassion International, or sponsoring a child through World Vision, or the hundreds of other organizations that have child sponsorship programs. We can also adopt. We can do foster care. We can open our homes, open our lives, and even open our bank accounts to help children in need around the world. Because I believe that God's heart beats for that. And when we engage the needy in this way, it pleases God. Hillcrest believes this, that how the church treats children is how those children will treat the world. If we can't express love and show grace and show openness and show a welcoming to children that are in need, how will they ever reflect that to others? We need to be a loving, gracious, God-filled people that have room in our hearts and room in our homes for the sake of others. Maybe you're contemplating adoption. We want to talk to you. We want to partner with you. We want to help. If finances is keeping you from being able to adopt, we want to help in that process. Maybe you're saying, look, I want to open my home in foster care, to open my home for a kid that finds themselves in a situation that is not their fault, but the fault of their environment and what's around them and the parents and all those decisions that are made, that find themselves with no home to go home to. And open your home and say, we've got room for you. We've got enough love to bring another kid in. We've got enough room on the mantle for one more stocking this Christmas. We got room for one more table, a spot at our table for Thanksgiving this year. That our heart is big enough to love one more person that's in need of love to come into our homes. You see, we need to love. That's the key all the way along. Love God and love others. In fact, God himself loved us and showed us that love through great sacrifice of himself. In fact, the scriptures say that his love for us was so that he could adopt us into his family. That we are all spiritual orphans, but that he loved us enough to adopt us into his family. And to secure that adoption, to secure that membership into his family, he gave his own life to secure it. In Galatians 4:5, it says, God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. I love what Hillcrest is doing on the global scene. We're helping those in need. We're sending those who are called to serve. We're providing opportunities to go and see and experience. We're providing homes for children who are in need of those homes. We're providing food for those that are hungry. We're providing clothing. We're providing education for children in need. Hillcrest, you're doing an amazing job. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that we're doing. It's an expression of truly God's love and grace to the world around us. But your role today cannot be, these are the things that my church does. I'm a part of a church and then list off the things I just said. Because the church is not an institution. The church is not a building. The church is what? Who is it? It's us. So your church can't be doing it if you're not doing it. You don't get to sit on the sidelines. You don't get to pass the buck to the person next to you. They'll do all the giving. They'll do the foster care. They'll do the adoptions. They'll go to Ethiopia. They'll sponsor a child. Other people, I'm so glad to be about a part of a church that does all these amazing things, and I do none of it. We can't be people that say I'm a part of something and not be a part of what that thing is. Like I said, Hillcrest is doing an amazing job, and call me just a thick-headed pastor, but I really have this vision that we all could do it together. That every single one of us have the opportunity and the wherewithal and the room in our hearts to care about other people in a way that is sacrificial. Because I think when Hillcrest catches that, when Hillcrest starts doing that, we don't even know what this next shift is going to look like. And we'll look back 14 years from now and say, do you remember back in 2017? I can't even recognize what we looked like then compared to what God has brought us to. But we're never going to get there if we sit on our hands, if we close our fists, and if we say other people will do it. We all have to do this because it's what we're called to do. It's what we brought us together. It's what the church is about. But Jesus said, go be my hands and feet in the world. I'm leaving. Whoop, up to heaven. He said, you guys, hands and feet, rock it, go be me. Are we doing that? Each one of us? Are we falling short somewhere? Because we can't. If one of you hears about some situation in the world and you're like, dang, we should really organize a relief trip to go do this thing. You just say those words to me. We will help administrate it. We will help plan it. We will get other people on board. Because I believe if God puts it on your heart, he's put it on other people's heart, and we will send you to go do relief, whatever that might be. If you feel like we need to be doing a mission trip somewhere in the world, you tell me about it, we'll do that. You feel like very possibly God is saying you need to open your heart to adoption or foster care, you talk to us, we will help make it happen. I believe it will happen. I believe that God will bless that. I believe somehow, some way, the funds will be here. I believe that somehow there will be people that are not giving now that will say, I'm going to start giving so this church can do even more of these things. Because this is not about us. It's about God. It's about others. That's our heart of worship. That's a core of who we are. And hear this. Even if you're falling short in any of these areas, God is not disappointed in you. He loves you. He's rooting for you. He's your champion. And even in this very moment, he's going, come on. Take a step. Put your toe in the water. Trust me, it's going to be fine. I know there's risk. I know there's fear. I know there's worry. But just trust me on this. As your pastor, when you go all in, there's not a better place to be. Do you know what it looks like when you don't go all in? It looks like Jonah in the bottom of that ship. And everybody's throwing everything overboard. We're going to save the ship. You know, Jonah's down there going, nope, it's me. I'm the one not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And when they finally take Jonah and they realize this and they toss that dude overboard and he's flying through the air getting ready to hit the water, I can't imagine what's going through his mind at that point. And what does God do? You could say, well, he does this terrible thing. He has a fish eat him. Yeah, that wouldn't be a good experience. But it was salvation. And that fish makes it to shore and vomits Jonah up right in the spot he's supposed to be at Nineveh. Jonah, it's time to get it done. And when you go all in, I promise you there's no better place to be. The resistance, the fighting back, the never going all in, it's this wishy-washiness. I just want just enough Jesus to go to heaven. And that is just, I just can't find that in the scriptures. It's all in. You pick up your cross and you carry it, and Jesus says, you follow me. Because that's the way to salvation. That's the way to goodness. That's the way to joy. For writers of the scriptures to say, I rejoice in my suffering. That is insanity. And it's the faith of a follower of Jesus. Are you ready? Are you willing? Can you do it? Can you take one small step today? I'm encouraging you. I'm pleading. I'm begging you. Try it. And see if a life of faith, all in for Jesus, does not provide for you a better outcome in your relationships and in your world, your faith, your heart, your whole reason for being on this planet. I bet it will. Jesus left us here on this earth so that we could love other people. The day will come and we will all be in eternity. But until then, our call is to stay here and to love the broken. To provide love for those who have been searching for it and have never been able to find it. And to bring them into the kingdom of God where they are accepted, where they are loved, where they are united with Christ. And Jesus is our example, and he is the one that we follow. The church has not always done well with this. We have sinned, and we have not loved. And Hillcrest is in no way perfect. Do not hear me that I think we are perfect. We are in no way perfect. And I want you to know I am unsatisfied with our current expression of love. But we're doing well, and we can still do better. God is our example. He gave it all. He gave his life in love. The sacrifices we make are small in comparison. We can do better. The church globally can do better. I can do better, and I'm sure you can do better. But God is not disappointed in you. He's not ashamed of you. He does not regret your existence. He's championing your cause and your purpose. And he's calling you to it at this moment. Will you respond? As we close our service, I'm going to pray. We're going to be taking a benevolent offering. And this is for the under-resourced in our community. It's not a part of our budget. But it goes to those that need help. It's a tangible expression of love. It's outside of our budget. It's just specifically a gift. So as the ushers come forward to take that, I'm going to pray for that. I'm going to invite Jacob and the worship team to come up and lead us in a closing song. Father God, we thank you for your love and your grace, and I ask that you would help us to grab a hold of, to run with our faith, to trust that the plan that you have, the way that you have for us is so much better than the commercials and all the stuff that's in front of us, trying to buy our time, to get us to focus on that, Lord, there is something so much greater in our faith to you. So, Lord, help us to have a compassion for the world around us, that we would be the kind of people that can support a missionary, that can give to our church, that can go on a short-term mission trip, that can open our homes to the orphans that are in need in the world, that could sponsor a child, that could love as you loved us. For you're the example, we're the recipients, and we share that love with others. As we take this benevolent offering, may you use it to express your love and grace to others in very tangible ways. And we truly thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name.